New Year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. Now get a savory sausage McMuffin with egg, plus hash browns, and a small coffee for just $5.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grounded, supported, and ready to grow. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Whether it's your first time in therapy or your 50th, Grow makes it easier to find a therapist who fits you, not the other way around. They connect you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights, and weekends. You can search by what matters, like insurance, specialty, identity, or availability, to get started in as little as 2 days. And if something comes up, you can cancel up to 24 hours in advance at no cost. There are no subscriptions and no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow helps you find therapy on your time. Whatever challenges you're facing, Grow Therapy is here to help. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid, in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/get started today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/get started. growtherapy.com/get started. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
Steep cliffs, dense forests, predatory animals, and harsh conditions. When someone goes missing, there could be any number of causes. But these cases prove sometimes there simply is no answer. Could the environment and animals explain what happened? Or something more sinister to blame? This week's episode is Unexplained Disappearances.
A bump in the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinisterhood.
I'm gonna kill you.
Did you ever wander off as a kid and get lost?
I remember I had a shopping with my mom once when I was probably 7 or 8 and being a little asshole and hiding in, do you remember how at the mall or even at department stores they would have kind of the circular thing of clothes
that and hide in the middle of those.
Yes, those big ass metal things. Yes, so I got in there and hid.
Oh God!
And then my mom was like, "All right, fine. If you're not going to come out, I'm just going to leave." And she just left.
All right, that's solid.
And then I went looking for her, and eventually I found her. But there was probably a good 15-20 minutes where I didn't know where she was.
That's a good lesson she taught
you. I brought it on myself.
Don't fuck around.
Exactly. I think I've said before I was terrified of being kidnapped as a child.
I wasn't until my mom told me that someone would take me in the Kmart bathroom and dye my hair another color, and I would not even recognize you.
Did you run off in a Kmart?
No, that was a girl got kidnapped in the, I think it was Sears, actually.
Yeah, I remember that.
She got kidnapped and they dyed her hair in the bathroom, but I also was on a leash because I was well known to
wander
off.
Was it an actual leash?
Well, it wasn't a dog leash. It was a child leash.
Right, but one of those little leashes.
It was just a little Velcro strap around my wrist, and then the Velcro strap around my mother's wrist, and then the band that connected us was curly rubber, like what you would do on an old-timey telephone. And then when I worked at Navy Pier, I saw kids with actual, like, the backpacks that are, like, stuffed animals, and then the parents have – it looks like a dog leash.
A little leash, yeah.
But, man, on a place like Navy Pier, are you kidding me? You get – I was
Hell
in Las Vegas
–
and you just look around and think, the people in huge crowds, you could just snatch up a kid.
Easily. I, even walking around the grocery store when kids are running around, I'll see a kid on an aisle. It takes 2 seconds for somebody to go missing. I don't know. I was so scared of it. And my greatest fear is something like that happening to Ella, of course. So I would never And there's nothing wrong if you did this or you let your kids do this, but I'm not the type of parent that's ever going to let her walk to school by herself.
Yeah.
Or ride her bike when she's young.
Well, what if you could
around
get
by herself?
What if they had a microchip you could put in your kid and it was GPS tracking? Would you let her do stuff by
that's
herself?
A Black Mirror episode.
But would you do it?
Well, not after I saw the Black Mirror episode.
You saw where it could go wrong. They do
things
have little,
go horribly wrong.
They have little watches you can give a kid, though, that's GPS tracker. And you could try, and like, but I mean, a murderer would just take it off.
Yes, or they could lose it.
True.
I don't know. I mean, even though on that Black Mirror episode, shit goes sideways.
I mean, it's every episode.
I still might put a tracker in her. I don't know. But that's also such a violation of her privacy.
That's true.
So. Hmm.
How much autonomy should you give a kid? I don't
know.
These
are
questions.
Question.
I don't have
good
the answers
questions.
To.
Good questions. Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
Today we're going to be talking about unexplained disappearances.
There's just a lot of people that go missing and there's no way to tell. The official explanation is very rocky, to say
sure.
the least.
Sometimes they turn up. Sometimes they don't. When they do turn up, there's often more questions than answers.
That's true. That's what we'll learn is that you – I mean, it's one of those things. It's everybody's dream if someone in their life, a loved one goes missing, that you open the door and they're there. But sometimes, like you said, there's more questions than answers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So let's get into this. Millions of people go missing each year, and there are as many as 100,000 active missing person cases in the U.S. at any given time. While many of these stories have happy endings, sometimes the events surrounding the disappearance and eventual discovery of their loved ones are so bizarre that they are left with more questions than answers.
All right, our first case.
In February of 1978, Stephen Kubacki told his family he was headed out to go skiing for the day near Lake Michigan. When no one had heard from Stephen by the next day, his family reported him missing to the authorities. Search teams were deployed and soon found his skis and poles on the snowy Lake Michigan beach. Here they also found Stephen's footprints leading right up to the edge of the frozen lake where they mysteriously stopped. The ice was unbroken, and there was not a second set of footprints leading back away from the water, and Stephen was nowhere to be found.
Christy, that one set of footprints was where Jesus carried him. I think we solved the mystery.
All of these are Jesus.
It was Jesus carrying him away. Well, I will say in the 1970s, so this was 1978, it seems like they were pretty loose with people's whereabouts, that he was gone for over a day. And then they said, well, mm-hmm. maybe we should start looking.
How long, if you hadn't heard from me, how long until you start getting until you start getting concerned and maybe reach out to Tommy?
Sometimes in the day, like if I text you and you don't text back, I ponder and I usually just try to say she's probably taking a nap or she's taking the baby to the doctor or she's probably just doing something because you usually do respond. Probably it would be like maybe 8 solid hours.
Okay. So a work day.
Like a solid, yeah, 8. Yeah, I think 8 hours. 12 seems like too many. Like if I try to text you at 8 a.m. and you hadn't responded by 8 p.m., if you hadn't responded by 5,
and
I'd
I hadn't seen it.
Yes.
Or you hadn't seen me post anything on social media. Yeah, I think 8 hours is good. I'd probably start getting real worried after 8 hours.
Yeah, if you
hours.
Hadn't heard from me.
8 hours for
if
sure,
I hadn't posted
if not
a
sooner.
Freaking hot selfie in 8 hours.
I would immediately you know what? I should probably get Nancy's information.
Yeah, so you can
just
well,
in case.
You can always find her. It's like the bat signal. But I will say, so this guy goes missing and his family, they wait a full 24 hours before they call him. But it sounds like there was some sort of... you know, they found some sign of
somebody's footprints.
Yeah.
Well, helicopters were brought in to assist in the search and conducted flyovers from Manitowoc, Wisconsin to Ludington, Michigan to Benton Harbor, an area more commonly referred to as the Lake Michigan Triangle. Mysterious events and disappearances have occurred in the Triangle since as early as 1891, when a schooner named the Thomas Hume disappeared with all 7 of its crew members. No trace of the boat or the crew was ever found. Over the years, boats, planes, and people have mysteriously disappeared in this area with no wreckage or bodies ever being found, leading some to believe a sinister force may be to blame.
Well, it sounds like he should not have gone skiing near the Lake Michigan Triangle. Also, Manitowoc, isn't that where Stephen Avery from
A lot of shit goes down in Manitowoc County. When search and rescue teams first combed the beach, they didn't find anything except for Stephen's poles and skis. Hours later, a helicopter flying over spotted Stephen's backpack in the same area where his other belongings had been found earlier. Authorities swore they had thoroughly searched that area several times over and that it had not been there before.
So, and also just for our listeners, this is a common thread in a lot of these cases. Yes. Where things are appear in an area that's already been well searched and there's a lot of disappearances or then discoveries of bodies near bodies of water. So the thread that kind of ties a lot of these stories together is there's a man named David Politis, mm-hmm. who has written a series of books called Missing 411.
Documentary.
And there's also a documentary on part of the cases. That documentary on available on Hulu only focuses on the children cases. It's like five specific cases, two of which we'll cover today. He was on the SWAT team and he was on the street crimes unit. And he uses his police investigative background to find commonalities between these crimes. Mm-hmm. So that's where we sort of sourced all of these crimes. And there are, I mean, how many would you say there were? 150 we had to go through?
If not more. I mean, there's a ton. Yeah.
So this is a common thing where they search the area, there's nothing there, they go one more time over and they find a backpack. Yes. Or they find shoes. Or
In
plain sight.
It's not as if this was buried under the snow and a corner was sticking out and then this was in plain sight where it should have easily been discovered when they first looked.
This is just like when I lose everything in my house. This is why I have tile trackers.
Same.
For everything.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, I just checked there.
Rescue teams continued to search but couldn't find a trace of Stephen. Eventually the search was called off and his friends and family were left grieving and wondering what had happened. 15 months later, on May 5th, 1979, Stephen's father was at home when his doorbell rang. He answered the door and was both elated and completely shocked when standing before him was his son, Stephen.
I mean, this would lay me out.
Fuck.
You would faint.
This is the most terrible situation is if he shows up. The father has a heart attack, dies, can't even appreciate that his son has come back because you're so shocked shitless that he's there.
It's crazy.
It really is. But it's something out of the movies.
I guess it's the best case scenario is he's found and he's, you know, not harmed.
And not hurt, absolutely. Stephen claimed that he had woken up in the middle of a field 40 miles from where his father lived and 700 miles away from Lake Michigan in the town of Pittsfield. He was wearing clothes he didn't recognize, and beside him lay a small bag with maps he claimed weren't his. According to Stephen, he didn't remember anything, didn't know what day it was, and was unaware 15 months had passed. Understandably, everyone had a million questions about where he had been and what had happened. However, those questions would remain unanswered as Stephen refused to talk to reporters, claiming he had nothing to say and, quote, didn't have any psychological problems from it.
Well, I think I have the explanation. There's an episode of the Dick Van Dyke Show where Rob Petrie, played by Dick Van Dyke, gets hit on the head with a real violin when they think it was a fake violin that they were going to use for the show. And he falls asleep on the train and he wakes up in Red Hook and he just wanders into a party and starts dancing with this hot lady. And basically it's amnesia caused by a slight head injury. And it's a hilarity ensues, as you can imagine.
Well, that's funny, but also I think that's the explanation for a lot of these cases we're going to talk about.
And apparently not super common, but apparently that can be relatively common. However, I will say another equally as common explanation is he was abducted by aliens.
Equally as common.
They
did
a ton of experiments on him. They made him look into the flashlight. They flashed his eyes, made him lose his memory. Yep. Made him lose his memory and dropped him off with some maps so he would find out where he was going.
New Year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. Now get a savory sausage McMuffin with egg, plus hash browns, and a small coffee for just $5.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grounded, supported, and ready to grow. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Whether it's your first time in therapy or your 50th, Grow makes it easier to find a therapist who fits you, not the other way around. They connect you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions nights, and weekends. You can search by what matters, like insurance, specialty, identity, or availability, to get started in as little as 2 days. And if something comes up, you can cancel up to 24 hours in advance at no cost. There are no subscriptions and no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow helps you find therapy on your time. Whatever challenges you're facing, Grow Therapy is here to help. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid, in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/get started today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/get started. growtherapy.com/get started. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
So it's either the Dick Van Dyke explanation.
Or were the maps where he had been?
Ooh. I don't know. He was kind of a dick about it.
And he was wearing clothes he didn't recognize. I mean, I feel all of these things can be explained away in a logical manner, most likely. It could also be explained in an unexplained phenomenon manner.
It was definitely an alien.
You know? Well, today, ironically, Stephen Kubacki is a clinical psychologist in Seattle, where he treats people with such issues as PTSD, trauma, depression, and anxiety. He has still never publicly spoken of his incident.
And that's his right. Although I will say, if you are a clinical psychologist, you can make mucho dollars if you would do like a TED talk of I was a victim of amnesia. Although I guess if you can't remember what happened, you don't have a lot to say.
15 months?
That's a long time.
That's such a long time. Well, I mean, how was he surviving?
Just eating. Yeah. What was he eating?
Here's also what's weird in these, especially 15 months, someone, if he was on this planet, had to have seen him and interacted with him.
A diner waitress.
Cared for him, giving him food.
Yeah, gas station.
Something.
Attendant.
So when you see this in the news, hit a brother up. Let somebody know what the hell's going on.
That's
if not
true.
For him, but for his family. You know his parents are like, we are so happy you're back, but also we have got to know what happened.
What in the hell happened?
I will never sleep another night if I do not have some answers.
Seriously. And there had to have been, and who knows, what if he was wandering around? This is just a romantic comedy in my brain. And he bumps into a lady and she says, who are you? And he says, I don't know. And she's like, well, you look like a Tony to me. And he's like, oh, okay. And then they fall in love. And then one day he wakes up and realizes this isn't my home. I need to go back to home. And he goes back to the first home he remembers, which would be his dad's house. Walks there and leaves that lady in the lurch.
Basically just described the plot to Overboard, which is a fantastic movie.
Overboard,
with Kurt Russell.
How long has it been since you last watched Overboard?
Oh, years.
Okay, so I just watched it.
Are you saying it doesn't hold up?
Oh no! I just watched it at Dry Bar. I'm very extra and I love to get blowouts at Dry Bar. And they rotate the same kind of romantic comedy. So I've been able to watch most
in
of
pieces, all
yes,
of Overboard.
Overboard. And you go back, I haven't seen the new one with Anna Faris, but if you go back to the Kurt Russell one, you realize that she was kind of a bitch. She falls off the boat. And he, realizing he doesn't want to care for his own children and could get a free, basically indentured servant, goes down to the police station, gets this woman, and he's not...
I mean, it's got some holes in the plot.
It's questionable ethics.
But Heather, in the end, they fall in love.
I mean, it's true. So, that's all that matters, okay. Really. Isn't your romance built on a foundational lies? Or it doesn't matter because did you see Kurt Russell's biceps? I mean, 1980s Kurt Russell is like, mwah.
Oh, my God. And those kids love her.
It's true.
She turns their lives around.
That's true. And she wanted like a real husband and real family. And her original husband was a big douchebag.
Well, they were huge rich snobs.
Yes.
So if you haven't seen Overboard, we've kind of just spoiled the whole thing for you, but still go watch it because...
Well, and let us know if it holds up. I feel like it made me kind of... It made me feel icky.
Yeah.
To watch it.
There are some movies or even old episodes of Friends and stuff I'll watch now or even Seinfeld. And
well, tell me which Seinfeld ones are problematic.
There's some... We'll talk off air. Okay.
That's a whole other episode is me talking about Seinfeld. But true.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're glad they're back, but, man, do you have some questions?
I wonder if he has dreams. Like, he has dreams now, and it's stuff
that happens. Or he's visited by...
The aliens.
Yeah. Wow, it's so crazy.
Probably his aliens.
Well, our next case. On February 7th, 2018, Danny Philippidis, a 49-year-old captain with the Toronto Fire Department, was wrapping up the last day of his annual ski retreat with family and friends at Whiteface Mountain Ski Resort in Wilmington, New York.
That's a problematic name of a ski resort.
Yeah, I did have that same thought while reading it. Everyone else had finished for the day, but Danny decided to go on one last run around 2:30 p.m. When he hadn't returned by 4:30 p.m., his party became concerned and reported him missing.
I will say this is a two-hour turn time in 2018 versus a 24-hour sure. turn time
well,
in 1978.
He's also on a snowy mountain, and the chairlifts have closed at 4. So the fact that he hasn't returned and the likelihood that something tragic has happened, I think, escalates when you're on a ski mountain. But
true.
He had also been skiing around frozen lakes. So, yeah, the 70s were just a different time.
You're feeling loose, man.
Mm-hmm. Immediately, search and rescue teams set out looking for him with the assistance of helicopters and search dogs. Rescuers searched for 6 days and for more than 9,426 hours.
My God.
Danny's skis, boots, and car were still at Whiteface, but Danny was nowhere to be found.
Well, how is he skiing if he don't have his boots or his skis?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Maybe he's in a spaceship.
Maybe where you don't need to ski. Family and friends feared the worst. Numerous agencies and emergency services searched the mountain, some areas 3 or 4 times, and couldn't find him. They even started to believe he wasn't on the mountain.
Because he was in a spaceship.
Probably. Eventually, the search was delayed by a snowstorm that produced several inches of powder, which would now make finding him even more difficult.
That's always a shame, you know, when they're looking for somebody and it snows, or they're looking for somebody and it rains, and it makes it, you know, they have to call off the search. Mm-hmm. That just happened with the bikini hiker. She was a famous Instagram hiker that would hike mountains wearing a bikini, and she just fell off of one.
Recently?
And, yeah.
Oh, I didn't hear about
this. And they finally found her, but they had to delay the search a couple days because huge snowfall came. Well, yeah, she was in a bikini and she fell off a mountain into the snow.
Oh, she was high. Oh, was a snowy mountain?
Yes.
Girl.
Yeah, bless her heart.
That's tragic, yes.
I know.
Well, all hope appeared to be lost until 6 days later, when on February 13th at 9:30 a.m., Danny's wife received a phone call from a man claiming to be her husband. After calling his wife by a special nickname for her and revealing some other personal information, it was clear this man really was Danny Philippidis. He was calling from the car rental area at the Sacramento International Airport. His wife said he sounded confused, and she convinced him to call 911. When help arrived, they discovered a very disoriented Danny, still dressed in his ski clothes, including his helmet.
Jesus. Wait. How was he on the phone if he had a helmet?
I wondered that, too. I think he took it off, but I did have that same thought. Or he could have just, like, kind of held it inside or talked through
like,
it. He was out of it. He probably didn't even care.
Yeah, this man has got a helmet. He's got a phone up to a ski helmet.
What a scene to drive up on. He was taken to Yolo County Hospital.
Hell yeah.
Has there ever been a more California-named hospital?
Looking awesome.
Where it was determined he was in relatively good condition.
Okay, I'm not married. You're married. What pieces of information would Tommy have to say on the phone to prove that it was really him? Do you have a special nickname? Obviously,
well,
if you do, don't reveal it because then the aliens would know.
Well, anybody that's around us for more than 5 minutes knows that we pretty strictly only refer to each other as babe.
Babe. Hey,
so
babe.
if I answered and he said,
"Hello, Christy,"
yeah, I would say, "Okay, click. This is an
just
alien.
Like,
this is a body snatcher.
You ain't my husband."
If he said, "Babe," then I would be
you would
like,
know.
"Oh shit, yes." And
man.
Again, what a can you imagine a more elated feeling than realizing? But also, you're scared shitless because he's 2,500 miles away
you're
or
like,
whatever.
Wait, where are you in Sacramento? Why?
Yeah.
First of all,
you have so many questions, but all you care about is getting them home and safe.
Yeah, so he was gone 6 days.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
According to New York State Police Major John H. Tibbetts Jr., Danny claimed the last thing he remembered was skiing in New York. He couldn't remember how he got from the ski resort to Route 86, but he had somehow been picked up by a trucker and mostly slept in the big rig until eventually being dropped off at a McDonald's in Sacramento. When asked to describe the trucker or the big rig, he was unable to remember what any of it looked like.
because maybe he was dropped by aliens.
Maybe.
Or it was Pee-wee's Big Adventure and it was Large Marge.
Oh, gosh.
She doesn't even
exist.
That's
my favorite scene of that movie. Somewhere along his journey, Danny had purchased a brand new iPhone.
All right.
Even got a haircut. While he still had his credit cards on him, they hadn't been used. He also had nearly $1,000 in cash. A new iPhone costs around $800, which means at some point he would have had almost $2,000 in cash on him. But how did he obtain this cash if bank records showed he had not been to an ATM? He also did not have any form of identification on him when police arrived.
Also, I'd like to point out a new iPhone costs $800, but can't if you sign up for a plan. Maybe he signed up for 2 years of cellular service and he doesn't remember.
Yeah, he probably did. He's probably on some friends and family plan that he has no idea.
AT&T employees will sell just about anybody. What's your name? I don't know. Doesn't matter.
They're just trying to meet a quota.
They're meeting their quotas.
New Year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. Now get a savory sausage McMuffin with egg, plus hash browns, and a small coffee for just $5.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grounded, supported, and ready to grow. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Whether it's your first time in therapy or your 50th, Grow makes it easier to find a therapist who fits you, not the other way around. They connect you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights, and weekends. You can search by what matters, like insurance, specialty, identity, or availability, to get started in as little as 2 days. And if something comes up, you can cancel up to 24 hours in advance at no cost. There are no subscriptions and no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow helps you find therapy on your time. Whatever challenges you're facing, Grow Therapy is here to help. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid, in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/get started today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/get started. growtherapy.com/get started. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
Danny was very cooperative with police, giving interviews and allowing them access to his phone. Authorities were still baffled and asked for anyone that saw him during those days to call them and help piece everything together. No calls were ever received from the mysterious truck driver.
Because it was Large Marge. To be honest, Large Marge scared me so
Oh, that
bad.
Was a very scary scene, but just thinking about it right now still makes me laugh.
It's funny. But
it's
she
so
was
good.
The lighting was so dark, and then it turns out, I mean, it's scary.
More in that movie, more than Large Marge, the scariest part to me was when he's having that dream and the clowns are chasing him.
Oh, yeah.
Or around the dinosaur park.
There's a lot of disturbing imagery.
Dark. Yeah, it's a dark movie for sure.
I was way into Pee Wee Herman as like a very little kid. And there's a video of me receiving a Pee Wee Herman doll. And I had a very bad speech impediment. And I'm pinching him on his legs. And I said, he's got wiles in his wigs. Poor parents.
That Pee Wee is currently in her living room.
Yes, I still have Pee Wee Herman. If you listen to the Annabelle episode, I think I talk about my Pee Wee doll.
I think you do too. Yes. With the help of doctors and police, Danny now believes that he suffered a head injury while skiing and was knocked unconscious. He was able to recall that he came to on the closed kids' course around dusk. It is believed that he then walked to nearby Route 86, where he hitched a ride with the trucker. Doctors believe that he was suffering from amnesia. But is there more to this bizarre story than meets the eye?
I've never been a trucker, but my question would be, sure, probably you pick up hitchhikers for pure reasons, like you want to give them a ride, or sex reasons, who knows. But my question would be, you pick up a guy in full ski regalia, and you say, hey, where are you going? And he just says, I don't know. Wouldn't you call the police and hey, I think I found a guy. Maybe he might have amnesia. He may be injured. Or take him to the nearest hospital and dump him out. You don't even have to call the police and get involved.
And that would have been hours and hours that they were – days they were together.
Yeah, multiple
And then
days.
Afterwards, I mean, this was all – when they were searching for him, this was all over the news in Canada and New York. I mean,
and in the radio
United States and everywhere. Somebody had to have known – they were looking for him that had seen him. If not then, then definitely afterwards when he was found. I mean, it was a national story. So, yes, I would think that if it were me, I know for a fact I would have contacted. But I don't know. You never know what weird shit people have going on or
in their trucks.
They don't want to get involved. Yeah, or they've got a record or some
or
shit.
Or it was Danny's big adventure, and he said, don't call the police. I'm having a great time. And who knows what great sights they might have seen in those 6 days.
Honestly, that's another thing that I think could be a logical explanation for a lot of these. Sometimes people just want to go missing.
Damn.
And sometimes they're found. Sometimes they're not. But I don't know. Maybe I think in this case, I do think he suffered a head injury and was suffering from amnesia. And who knows what happened over those 6 days. But then eventually he had a moment of clarity. They said the only number he remembered was his wife's number. Luckily, and why he called it. Yeah.
I would say if you want to go missing, rent a cabin, go on Airbnb, or go to an all-inclusive resort in Cancun, and you can just be by yourself, and your family at least knows reasonably where you are. But you don't have to talk to anybody if you want to take a couple days.
Sure.
But don't go hopping in the big rig and gallivanting off to fabulous Sacramento.
I think the weirdest part of this is that the trucker never came forward and said anything.
I think it was Large Marge. There's no other way.
Well, our next one is a little, not a little, it's a lot sadder and doesn't have as happy of ending as the previous two. On October 2nd, 1999, 3-year-old Jared Atadero was staying at the lodge his family owned in Poudre Canyon, Colorado, near Rocky Mountain National Park. A church group of 10 adults and some other children were also staying at the lodge. Alan Atadero, the owner of the lodge and Jared's father, said he knew and trusted everyone in the group. So when Jared wanted to go on a hike with them while Alan stayed behind and took a nap, he didn't have any concerns.
Question?
Yeah.
You have a baby?
Oh, man.
You just letting your kid wander off with a bunch of randos?
They weren't randos. They stayed at his lodge a lot, and he knew them all. And he was a devout Christian, and they prayed together and had a bond.
Statistically speaking,
yes,
the people,
someone that
the
you
sex
know.
Predators will be the people that you know. It's not someone jumping out of the forest. It's someone that's sitting around your knitting circle or your prayer circle or around the, you know.
Absolutely. So me, no, I would not. But he probably had all the faith in the world in these people. But going, these 10 people going to Chuck E. Cheese, that's one thing. Going on a strenuous hike through dense forest
with a 3-year-old,
that's a completely different story. I mean, I wouldn't, if I was taking just Tommy and I taking Ella on a hike, we would have so many precautions. I probably wouldn't even let her walk. I'd be carrying her the whole time. So, no, I would never have let this happen.
But, I mean, it's not. It's
that's
absolutely
not to say it's not his fault.
No, it's not the dad's fault ever. I just
took himself every fucking day about
it. Oh, and he has been the biggest advocate for his son. So,
yes.
Absolutely not his fault. But I was just asking, in your, you're a mom, and we have a lot of listeners who are moms.
Yes. No.
And dads, shout out.
I'm kind of a, I'm pretty overprotective, though, especially right now when she's so small. Well, several hours later, all that would change when Alan was suddenly woken up by some members of the church group telling him, Jared is fine, we just can't find him.
Technically, that's inaccurate.
Also, how do you know he's fine if you can't find
that's what
him?
I'm saying.
Just say we can't find him.
Your kid is missing. You cannot say he's fine.
Exactly. The adults had been hiking in two groups, and the children had been running back and forth up and down the trail between the two groups. It was during one of these sprints that Jared vanished.
Damn.
Again, I don't want to blame, but this just seems very irresponsible.
I mean, for the adults who, if you're taking some, what they call it in the legal sense, in loco parenti, where you are standing in the shoes of the parent and you're technically responsible for the kid. When you and Kyle were over here and you both left the room and left me with 2 1-year-olds, I just thought, I mean, I was on high alert. I had eagle eyes, my ears. I was ready. I had cat-like reflexes. I was ready to jump at any possible danger for either of them. And then one went off one way and one went off the other. And I just said, help. I need an adult.
Help. Help.
Help. They're separating each other.
Exactly. They're separating.
I don't know what to do. So I just can't imagine being sort of, and this was the 90s. I mean, this wasn't like it was the 70s, the loose 70s. That just saying, yeah, it's fine to run between us.
No.
I've been hiking because my stupid friends, Jeff and Emily, who I love, and they're friends from high high school, but Jeff fancies himself quite an outdoorsman. So whenever we say we're going to go on like a friendly trip, we always get roped into doing something physical. And you know, you keep an eye on each other, and we're all adults even. And we're like, okay, well, we got too far. Sean's hungover. We got to go back and get him. You can't, even if you're adults, you shouldn't separate.
No, you
much
shouldn't.
Much less if they're little kids.
And this case is in Missing 411.
Yes.
The father has written a book. You can find a lot of YouTube videos of the area where he went missing and where the trail they were hiking. It is not an easy trail. It is in dense forest. There are rocks and jagged cliffs everywhere. There's a huge rushing river nearby. It is not a place to let just children run back and forth. It's not a freaking gymboree.
Because I always worry. I don't ever want to say, you know, when something bad happens to someone, it's their fault. Absolutely not. However, in this case, this kid is three.
He needed protection.
He needed someone to, you know, pay attention.
Exactly. Well, immediately, search and rescue teams were alerted, and everyone set out to find the young boy. The trail the group had been hiking was considered to be moderate to strenuous, with rough terrain in many parts. There was also a large rushing river nearby that authorities feared Jared may have fallen into and been swept away. According to two fishermen, a small boy approached them and asked if there were any bears in the forest. The men told him, yes, they were in bear country, and the little boy ran back off down the trail. Stupidly, the fishermen did not go after the child. This would be the last time anyone would see Jared alive. And yes, I say stupidly, because what the fuck? If a three-year-old boy approaches you in the woods and he's alone, hello, red flags. Don't just let him wander off back into the jungle. That's
insane. Bye, buddy. See you later.
That's so crazy.
I was going to say, normally the outlines that you write are very, there's no editorializing. But in this case, you're like, two dumb shit fishermen were sticking their thumbs in their assholes.
I try to stay unbiased, but that I had to put a little of my own opinion in there.
That's a little bizarre. And for me, if I'm in a grocery store and I see a kid, I'm usually like, where's your mom?
I did that recently. I was somewhere and there was a child. Oh, it was at the Gaylord when we took Ella to see Santa. And all of a sudden, there was just small child just walking around us. I didn't see any parents around. I immediately stopped. I put my hand on her shoulder and looked around. She wasn't even old enough to be able to tell me where her parents were.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, the mom just comes running up, not nearly concerned enough.
Gosh.
And I mean, there were thousands of people around. She
the Gaylord
could have been snatched in a heartbeat.
Yeah, for you guys that don't know, the Gaylord Texan is this huge fancy resort. And
gigantic.
It's gigantic, and it has inside of it, there's a garden type thing, and then they have the ice thing. There's just all, it's almost like a mall.
It is. And during Christmas, there are thousands upon thousands.
Show.
It was awful. We couldn't even stay because
it was
overwhelming.
You're just sitting there. You're sitting there fishing, and a kid walks up and says, "Are there bears around?" And you go, "Yep," and then turn around and keep fishing.
Later, that's wild. And if they had gone after him or kept him there, chances are he'd still be alive.
Yeah.
5 days into the rescue mission, everything came to a halt when a search helicopter crashed near the same spot where Jared was last seen.
It's horrible.
This is also another recurring weird thing that happens in a lot of these disappearances are plane crashes happening
nearby
and even during the actual investigation.
And there's plane crashes or like radio interference.
Mm-hmm.
They can't use their radios. Yep.
To further complicate matters, it began to snow, covering any potential tracks that may have provided clues. Authorities were reporting that he had most likely been killed by a mountain lion. And after 8 days, the search was called off.
Also, another recurring theme is the search and rescue. In this case, when it's the National Forest Service or mm-hmm. the Department of the Interior, they tend to just say, it was probably a mountain lion,
mm-hmm.
and then shut it down.
Statistically, mountain lion deaths are very rare.
There's only like 15 in the last 100 years, mm-hmm. I think.
It's not very common.
I hate that the search and rescue squads are besmirching the good name of the mountain lion.
Those poor mountain lions
want to hurt anyone.
Out there doing their thing. Alan did not buy this explanation and begged for the search to continue. He requested that an Amber Alert be issued, but the FBI declined, saying they saw no evidence of a crime.
It's fucked up.
And because this is a national forest, the FBI has no jurisdiction.
They can't step in unless they think that a crime has been committed.
Which is also fucked up.
Well.
Alan also claims that when the authorities were searching for his son, that the search dogs had been given a pair of Alan's shorts, not Jared's, so they were tracking the wrong scent. When Alan questioned this, he claims the search and rescue team threatened him and told him they could call off the search at any time if he caused problems.
That's a very rude attitude to take with a man who's lost his son.
Seems pretty unnecessary. 4 years later, on June 4th, 2003, two hikers came across some tattered children's clothing 550 feet above the trail where Jared was last seen. Authorities were alerted and contacted Alan, who confirmed that they were Jared's clothes. While dirty, the clothes were not ripped or torn and didn't have any blood on them, casting further doubt on a mountain lion or other animal having attacked him. Furthermore, hairs that were found on Jared's sweatshirt were tested and had not come from any type of recognizable animal. They also did not belong to Jared.
So yeah, that's two things. One, mountain lions tend to go for the gut area. Mm-hmm. Like they'll go for your stomach. So that obviously would cause a ton of tearing in the clothes and tons of blood loss. So there was none of that. And they frequently dragged their prey, and there was not evidence that the clothes had been like torn from being dragged. And also, my question is, I'm sorry, there's an unknown animal here. How, if you are the National Forest Service or whatever, do you not know what animals are in your forest? There's what?
Yeah, it seems like they did not do their due diligence in testing all of this evidence.
Or was it a hair belonging to the greatest predator of all?
Oh, Christ.
Bigfoot.
I knew it was going to be Bigfoot.
Well, I mean, he's out there, you guys, so.
10 days later, not far from where the clothes had been discovered, a tooth and a piece of skull cap were found. According to Alan, the DNA on the tooth had been contaminated, and he believed it didn't even belong to his son. He also believes that because the clothes were found in rough terrain that would have been almost impossible for a child to traverse, that they had been planted there, most likely by the person who abducted his son, so the case might finally be closed.
So this is covered in the documentary Missing 411, and I'll put a link to it in the show notes.
It's a really good documentary.
It's an excellent, well-made documentary. It never mentions Bigfoot, heads up. I was waiting for that.
That's
but
crazy.
This part is so, so heart-wrenching mm-hmm. because Alan Atadero is holding his son's skull, like a piece of his son's skull. Mm-hmm. He just has it in his house.
That's all he has left.
Because
of him.
The FBI didn't think that it was a crime, so they didn't take it into evidence and preserve it. Mm-hmm. He just has a sack in his house that has his missing son's, well, now I guess deceased son's, clothes and this tooth that had multiple DNA. Like he said, it was contaminated.
So and it had been – so the DNA had been so broken down
– by that point.
And degraded over the years that – they really, it was kind of inconclusive what the test showed.
It's very, very sad.
On one hand, as dark as it may be, he has some pieces of his son that he can
that's what he said.
Hold on to, mm-hmm. yeah, and still maybe find a connection. However, this all signs point to that this was a crime.
Some sort of foul play.
And it should have been taken into evidence, and an investigation should have been opened because it is not seem like an animal attack.
Yeah,
was
who's to say
cause.
Who this person wouldn't snatch someone else?
Exactly, or hadn't. That was one. Alan, one of his theories was the tooth was from another one of this whoever abducted his son, another victim,
and was multiple.
He planted it there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The strangest part of this new discovery were Jared's shoes, which were found side by side on top of a cluster of boulders. Despite supposedly having been exposed to the elements for the past 4 years, there were no scratches or scuff marks indicative of being dragged by an animal, or any mold or water stains from years of rain and snow. The fact that the shoes had been found together also raised serious questions for Alan. He claimed that Jared never tied his shoes, and it would have been nearly impossible for both of them to have stayed on his feet.
Yeah, especially the condition the shoes are in look brand new.
They look new.
They were in a creepy person's cabin,
the
a trailer or something.
The colors are still vibrant. They're also, and we'll post the pictures of where they were found on our Instagram. It's this cluster of boulders, and they're nestled in the middle, side by side. It's
almost like some aliens.
Someone had to have put them there. That there's no other explanation that they were placed there.
Or an extraterrestrial.
Yes, something put them there, for sure.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N, Rakuten.com.
New Year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. Now get a savory sausage McMuffin with egg, plus hash browns, and a small coffee for just $5.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
To this day, the case remains unsolved. Authorities still maintain it was a mountain lion attack, but Allen believes foul play was involved. Sadly, the truth may never be known.
And these missing 411 truthers that are out there that believe the federal government is covering all these up or sort of brushing the investigations under the rug point to something like this, where obviously it was not a mountain lion attack because right. there's no blood. His clothes were not torn. All of these pieces of evidence. And yet they still maintain.
They would have found other bones around.
Oh, absolutely.
They would have seen a mountain lion in the area. They even, because they thought it was a mountain lion, they were all instructed, if you see any big cats, tranquilize them. And
we can search the stomach.
We're going to search the stomach to see if his remains are in there. There were none spotted in the area.
Yeah.
If a mountain lion gets taste for blood in an area and knows that there's something around, they're going to come back for more. They're hunting.
Yeah.
Makes no sense whatsoever.
So it's weird that in the face of all this overwhelming evidence that the authorities say, well, no, it was a mountain lion. That's
exactly.
Fine.
In Oregon, in 1952, two-year-old Keith Perkins was walking around his family's barn near Umatilla National Forest when he suddenly disappeared. 200 people searched the surrounding properties but couldn't find a trace of him. Then a few hours later, and 3 miles from his last location, they found his tracks that seemed to start and stop out of nowhere.
Here's the thing. 3 miles. My niece is two. She can walk a pretty good distance, although sometimes she gets to running and she'll just run headlong into stuff and fall down because she's pretty wild. And
Ella does this too.
I'll say, and she does that and screams and then wants food. And they say, she's just like you, Heather. Ha, ha, ha. I'm like, well, you're not wrong. It's pretty accurate. But I'm just thinking the little tiny feet and the little tiny legs, she ain't walking out 3 miles.
Mm-hmm.
No.
It would be hard for me to walk 3 miles.
Seriously, an adult, if you're walking at a leisurely pace, it takes you maybe 20 minutes to walk a mile. So a 3-year-old,
child, I guess, with tiny little legs.
Yeah, a few hours. I mean, that's far for a kid.
It's possible. It's highly unlikely. 19 hours later, he was found face down in the snow in a dense area on a rocky cliff, 8 miles from where he was last seen. Luckily, he was alive and just had some scratches on his face. He was unable to communicate what had happened and how he managed to walk an improbable distance in such a short amount of time was never explained. Some of his clothes were found lying around him, too.
Yes.
Which is another common thread in these situations.
Yes, the people's part of their clothes are removed but are placed sort of neatly nearby them. Mm-hmm. He is still alive. They interviewed him for the Missing 411 documentary, and he has his little outfit, and he just says, I don't know what happened to me that day.
He's two. Of course he wouldn't. He wouldn't be able to tell them, even if he did remember when it was happening, what was going on.
All the things you've forgotten in your life. So many things. I mean, even in the last year, you forgot.
I have a terrible memory. I remember very little from when I was little. I can't think of anything I remember from when I was two.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I don't think you can.
No.
But it's very interesting that he has kind of a joyful way to talk about it. And says, these are the clothes I was wearing, and they found me.
It's just a thing that happened to him.
But when you see, it's almost like a triangle. So he was at the barn, walks out of the barn, and walks basically straight up 3 miles, and then walks across, and so it's 8 miles, they kept saying, as the crow flies, from the barn to where he was eventually found. And I think if I can find a screenshot, I'll post it on the show notes just so you can kind of see the triangular shape of his journey. And it's just impossible that mm-hmm. a two-year-old made that walk that far in the snow.
There's not – I don't have an answer. It's one of those things where usually I can – I'm – pretty more of the logical mindset as opposed to unexplained phenomenon.
He was abducted by aliens.
This is one of those that I don't really have an explanation for.
Or some people say maybe it was a giant bird. Maybe it was Mothman. We don't know.
Oh, Mothman.
There were no talon marks, though, on his like clothes or on his back or anything. Mm-hmm.
While it is not uncommon for missing persons to be found in bodies of water, oddly, the cause of death is rarely drowning. Such is the case in these next two stories. In 2009, 24-year-old Minnesota college soccer star Jelani Brinson's body was found in the pond of a golf course. While it had been raining for days and the golf course was muddy, Jelani's socks were completely clean. To add to the mystery, his hat was found in one neighbor's backyard, while his shoes were found in another's. While it was clear Jelani did not drown, his cause of death was never determined.
Well, and this is a weird case where, again, it looks like, it's pretty simple. He went missing or whatever. But they said that he wasn't really muddy. Yeah. You know, it's like crazy that he was found in a it looks like maybe he was placed there.
He was placed there.
And that's why alien conspiracy theorists think that it was an alien abduction, because it just was so strange that he was so not covered in mud and grass and everything like that.
Do the aliens like water? What's the explanation for them dropping people in bodies of water?
I don't know if it's easier to find if you're looking down from your spaceship. Another thing that's similar.
So maybe it's just a GPS directional thing.
Yeah. Well, as I say, and another thing that happened with Jelani and that's happened with a couple of these other cases is that he was out at a bar with his friends and took a phone call and then went missing. And so that's another thing that happened.
Who was the phone call from?
I think it was from his mom. I think he said that it was from his mom. But, yeah, they said that in these cases, young men will go missing in urban areas near the water, especially like Minnesota and Wisconsin. And a young guy's out drinking at a bar. They don't really remember what happens. And a few days later, they're found dead in water. And most of the time you think, they drowned because they were drunk. But David Politis, like I said, who authored Missing 411, said that that's not necessarily true. The body is usually only in the water for a day or two. So in that case, were they killed somewhere else and then
exactly,
dropped there?
Yeah.
Or were they wandering around that long and then they ended up there?
We'll never know.
I know.
In January 2014, in Ontario, Canada, Jeffrey Boucher set out for one of his typical early morning runs, but never returned home. An extensive search was conducted, but authorities were left completely baffled. Some speculated suicide, while others thought he may have accidentally fallen in Lake Ontario and drowned. A large amount of cash was found in his desk at the school where he taught, which initially raised eyebrows, but it was later learned it was for a class trip he had been organizing. A few months later, when the snow started to melt, Jeffrey's running shoes were found. Shortly after, a man walking his dog on the shore of Lake Ontario discovered Jeffrey's body. An autopsy report determined there was no foul play, but was unable to provide the actual cause of death.
And his wife said, you know, there's a 0% chance that it was suicide. He would never do that. And he went running like this.
Every day.
All the time.
He was a health nut. His daughters that also lived at home said every morning at 6 a.m. they would hear him leave and go running. And then, you know, an hour later or so, come back in the house.
Yeah. And it's sort of a situation where he's doing his normal thing and he wouldn't have gotten lost. He wouldn't have gotten – that's the question. And the water was rushing whenever – you know, it was liquid at the time. It wasn't frozen. But his body had to be chipped out of ice. It had been mm-hmm. frozen down in there. So
I think in this situation, he did slip and fall in the water and froze to death or drowned, and then wasn't discovered until his body washed up on shore and things started to melt, and that's how his shoes were discovered and things.
And that's what people say. And the police have said, you know, there's no foul play, of course. There's always a flip side that he was abducted and then dropped back down.
Would the police even be able to determine that, though? I feel like no. Alien technology is above what our police can detect.
Well, and that's the thing, is that if he would have fallen off the pier and drowned, they would have said, oh, the cause of death is drowning. But they did the autopsy, and they couldn't determine that he had drowned.
Hmm.
So
if search and rescue teams, law enforcement, and coroners are unable to provide any answers, how is anyone supposed to explain what is happening in these unexplained disappearances? Politis, author of Missing 411, and a former SWAT and street crime officer, like we mentioned, has dedicated his life to helping people that have gone missing in national parks. In a speech given at the University of Toronto, Politis said, quote, "It's like something out of the X-Files." According to Politis, he has collected over 2,000 cases that have similar characteristics. As we've mentioned, people go missing around bodies of water.
Or that's where their bodies are found.
Yes. There are cluster areas where numerous people will go missing.
Like you said, Minnesota, Michigan.
The Lake Michigan Triangle. Also, the area where Jared Atadero went missing was a cluster area, and several other young boys had gone missing there in the previous years.
Which, like, wouldn't that also make the FBI think that maybe there's a predator?
You'd think.
God.
If found alive, the people often have memory loss. If found dead, the cause of death is often hard to determine. People are found in areas that could not be reached on foot, like the rocky cliffs or areas that have already recently been searched.
Or where Jared Atadero's clothes were found was super, super steep climb.
Yes.
My wife, Leanne, was watching the Missing 411 documentary with me, and I just asked her when they were showing, because she's a hiker and hiked all around Colorado, and I just asked her when we were watching, you know, is that an easy hike? And she said, I'm a great hiker, and that would be I could do it, but it would be strenuous, and a kid's not going to be able to do that alone.
Even the camera crews making the documentary said it was hard for them to get up there. They had to help each other climb it.
Mm-hmm.
A child by himself?
No.
Impossible. People are often missing clothing items or shoes. Search and rescue dogs are strangely unable to pick up the scent. That could also be from the weather.
Or also from, as the Jared Atadero situation, they were looking for the dad. They had the dad's pants sure. as a sample.
Yes. And it's dogs can't pick up water scent on water. So
makes
if
sense.
They fall in the water, then that's kind of.
But wouldn't they be able to find their scent up into
up
the water?
Up into the water, yes, they should.
Unless Jesus was carrying them. There's only one set of footprints.
Some canine handlers have said that the canines behave strangely when investigating these cases. They start to whine, walk in circles, or just sit down.
Which is weird for very well-trained dogs. Mm-hmm. Although I will say, I was watching the San Antonio Spurs get into their bus the other day because my office overlooked where they were.
Oh, okay. I thought this was on TV.
No, I was in my favorite coworker's office with my second favorite coworker, and we were watching them, and they had a bomb sniffing dog there, and that dog was a very good doggo. Mm-hmm. He was sitting there, and they would bring each piece of luggage to him. It's like the dogs you see at the TSA area at an airport. They're very well trained, but in these cases, they said the handlers had well trained, seasoned dogs that would flip out and would whine, and it's probably because they sense that there's aliens around,
or they smell Bigfoot,
or Bigfoot's coming for them.
New year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. So now get two snack wraps, plus fries, and a medium soft drink for just $8.
For limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grounded, supported, and ready to grow. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Whether it's your first time in therapy or your 50th, Grow makes it easier to find a therapist who fits you, not the other way around. They connect you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights, and weekends. You can search by what matters, like insurance, specialty, identity, or availability, to get started in as little as 2 days. And if something comes up, you can cancel up to 24 hours in advance at no cost. There are no subscriptions and no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow helps you find therapy on your time. Whatever challenges you're facing, Grow Therapy is here to help. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid, in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/get started today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/get started. growtherapy.com/get started. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
Well, despite more than 4 years and 9,000 hours of researching these cases, Paulides has never provided a solid answer for what happened, but heavily alludes to alien abductions, government cover-ups, and even Bigfoot.
Well, I do like that his explanation for the government cover-up is the FOIA request, which is the Freedom of Information Act request he did.
Uh-huh.
And they said, okay, we'll do the – and when you do a Freedom of Information Act request, they – agency that you request information from has the right to bill you for the reasonable time and expenses it takes to fulfill the request. So if you want a record and they say, we're happy to do it, but we're going to charge you 10 cents a page and 2 hours of labor, then they can send you a bill and then they won't deliver the requested documentation until you pay the bill. Well, he wanted every missing person that had ever gone missing on federal land. And the government said that would take so many man hours, it would be $1.4 million. And in his, he twists it to say, the government's covering it up. They're trying to charge me $1.4 million. All you need is an intern that will work for free and type into a spreadsheet. Okay, to be fair, there's a lot of mystery going on here, but government inefficiency is not a mystery.
No,
like, of course it would take
pretty clear cut.
Of course it would take $1.4 million and a ton of time.
Yeah.
That is not proof of a conspiracy.
No, not at all.
No.
And just getting an intern to do it, my God, he'll die before he's given
that
spreadsheet.
Are you kidding me? Yeah. So Paulides has a lot of theories, but he refuses to lock into one. And he's quoted as saying, I've never given you a theory. I've given you a series of facts. And he's basically trying to make people draw their own conclusions, but it's the conclusions he wants them to draw.
But guiding them exactly,
yeah,
to that conclusion.
A little suspicious. But yeah, he has a lot of long quotes of him saying, well, reasonable minds can come to their own conclusion. I've never told you a theory, because if I told you a theory, you would be able to disprove it the next day, and then I would lose all my credibility. So I'm just giving you the facts of what happened, and you can draw your own conclusions, which is a cop-out.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that is most frustrating about cases where someone goes missing on federal land is that there is no requirement for the U.S. government to keep records of these people.
Okay, that's weird.
And there are no federal standards for federal search and rescue.
They're just doing whatever they want.
Is this just due to sheer negligence, or could it be part of a larger government cover-up? It is crazy that they don't have a database for these people that have gone missing. And it seems very insensitive and callous. These are people's loved ones that have gone missing, and it's to the government, it appears, oh, they've just vanished, so let's just write them off.
Too bad, so sad. It's probably mountain lion. And also, we're taxpayers. You need to care when we go missing.
Exactly.
But I think that Jerry Gergich summed it up on Parks and Rec. It's not government work if you don't have to do it twice. So they've gone through already. They have a record somewhere. They're just not centralized. So, of course, yes, it's going to be a huge project to centralize it. And maybe with enough pressure from David Paulides and, you know, Alan Atadero and people who have either researched it or have been experienced it firsthand.
Or lost loved ones.
Lost loved ones. Yeah. Then they maybe can make a change.
That's probably what will need to happen. So, some other theories. Some believe alien abductions are behind these mysterious disappearances, which could explain the loss of time, missing clothing, and the person turning up miles away from where they disappeared.
The aliens don't gently put you back where you were found.
Well, you're being dropped from, you know, a mile or so up in the air.
If you've ever seen that Kate McKinnon sketch on SNL, they dropped her on top of a Long John Silver's and her slacks were in a tree 30 feet away. She was just up there with her cuckoo hanging out. That's one of my favorite
That's
sketches.
That's a great sketch. Yeah.
All of those are so good. So I think alien abductions make sense. They're, you know, abducted from a wooded area. Especially if they've left their pack or were out on their own, that would be a good target. There is – this dovetails with a later theory. So I'll come back to aliens in a minute.
Everyone, this is the time to go ahead and get out your tinfoil and start making your little hat, because we're primed and prepped.
It's coming.
For tinfoil hat Heather. In many cases, a strange storm develops right before the person goes missing. Are electromagnetic forces creating portals into other dimensions?
That's what they're saying. And also, this dovetails with our next theory. Some people think that Bigfoot is not of our realm, that he is, in fact, an interdimensional being, much like we talked about in the Mothman episode. The guy that wrote the Mothman prophecies – thinks that Mothman and Jesus and anything like that are actually from another parallel universe. Right. It's like the multiverse theory, and they're crossing over. And so if Bigfoot, according to some, is doing this, then it could be that he is taking these people with him into that dimension and then bringing them back out.
What's his motive?
I think for the most part, David Politis thinks it's a cryptid. He thinks it's an animal, Bigfoot, something like that.
That seems so ridiculous to me. And also kind of insensitive to say these people's loved ones have gone missing from fucking Bigfoot.
You got ate up by a Bigfoot.
Like, let's give them an actual logical explanation.
Well, in the case of Atadero, I think that's probably, if other kids have gone missing in that area, it's probably a human predator.
Oh,
frankly.
I 100% think it's a human predator.
So then this is our next theory.
Scariest beast of all.
The Illuminati.
Oh, gosh.
So this is a rabbit hole I went down. Apparently, according to some... The Illuminati.
According to some is my favorite. According to some.
Folks have said.
A niche group on the internet.
Folks are saying that the Illuminati, for multiple reasons, have shopping lists with descriptions of people they may want, older or younger or middle-aged or adult, male, female, different races and different body types. And there's shopping lists, and there are Illuminati workers, so basically like people work for the Illuminati or the deep state, and they go out and abduct people that match these descriptions and take them to human processing centers, which are underground, if I'm to remember correctly from my research. And what they do in the human processing centers, it's determined whether they're going to be used as sex slaves on Earth, or they're going to be used in like an MK Ultra type thing where they're brainwashed, or whether they're going to be, this is the thing I didn't know about until recently, sent to interplanetary human trafficking where aliens from other planets are willing to buy humans and put them in a museum. From what I understand, it's like a museum with different types of humans, and they have to be in this museum.
I wish we had footage of what my face looks like right
Christy's
now.
Christy's face is, I don't think it could get more scrunched up and just disgust.
Not disgust, confusion.
Well, confusion. So apparently the aliens, there are, according to these same people, aliens that crash like around Roswell are called allied ETs. So they're aliens that at the time made friends with the government and have these underground bases that are around national parks because they're easy to hide. The entrances would be easy to hide. Mm. And they run these processing centers, and the Illuminati, like I said, either uses people for MK Ultra, which that's going to have to be a whole episode, which is, if you don't know, it's basically a government program where they use drugs or abuse to create subjects. So
it's
humans,
real.
It is real, where they use subjects to mind control them. And or they use them for, apparently there's like Illuminati sex rings. And then
that's also true.
Yes. And then the other thing is the interplanetary trade where they give humans to other planets to either do experiments on or use for whatever purposes.
But the Illuminati are doing this.
Well, they're
trading?
In charge of everything. Yeah. So they're,
but the Illuminati in this scenario are people.
Yes. The Illuminati is like the government, the one world government.
So they're working directly with alien beings.
Supposedly.
To barter and trade.
Correct.
Our fellow man and woman.
Correct.
Around the galaxy.
Yes. To be used in, I think it's like the Guardians of the Galaxy where Benicio del Toro has that whole display case
yes.
world that he lives in. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's kind of like that.
Okay. Okay. Woo. So that's probably what's happening.
I think that's the only explanation. I went down quite a rabbit hole for that.
That's a big old hole.
I think if this is an iceberg, I just saw what was above the surface. There's so much more that I just did not have.
You need access to the deep web.
I do.
If anyone does, you do.
I do. I need to read the real. If you know where I can learn more about this. No. Although the last time we tagged as kind of a bit, we tagged Illuminati. Someone, I don't know if it was a bot on Instagram, said, if you would like to learn more about the Illuminati, please follow me. When I clicked the name, it was a private page. And I thought, I'm not getting on that. I'm not starting that.
Then you're not ready for the deep web.
I guess not. I'm not trying to be on any lists.
Well, some other explanations that might not be as exciting as the Illuminati, but maybe a bit more reasonable. suicide, head injuries that lead to amnesia, or people that just want to disappear.
Oh, I don't think any of those are likely.
I think most of those are likely.
Probably with the skiers, the head injuries leading to amnesia.
I think the head injuries with the skiers. I think with Jared, it was a person abducted him.
A predator.
And those, his clothes and everything were planted.
But how do you explain Jelani Brinson?
I don't know if I have an explanation. I don't think it was the Illuminati.
It was definitely aliens.
I mean, I do believe in aliens, so I'm not saying that it's not aliens.
That's true.
I just think that a lot of times there are things that we want to explain with more exciting answers as opposed to
the truth, which is boring.
The truth, which is boring. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So what do you think?
Well, it varies from case to case. I think in the cluster cases where people are found with no memory, it may be a Dick Van Dyke Show explanation where they got hit in the head with the violin and ended up, you know, somewhere where they didn't think they were meant to be. But I think also the whole time portal thing doesn't – it's not too crazy because I definitely believe in the multiverse theory. And who knows, in these areas of dense forestry, there's an electromagnetic storm. I don't know. I feel like I'm open to a lot of ideas and theories because I am humble about what I know I don't know. There's mm-hmm. no way to know definitively that that's impossible. So I'm open to that possibility.
Let me ask you this.
What?
We are hiking in a forest. I go missing.
Uh-huh.
I can't be found. Then some of my clothing is found.
Yeah.
The authorities come and tell you, Miss McKinney, she probably is in another dimension with Bigfoot. Are you going to be satisfied with that explanation?
I would figure out a way to get to the other
dimension.
Or
are you going to want them to research it as if it were an actual missing persons case?
You never watched the 2016 female Ghostbusters, but I would find a way to get to the other dimension.
Well,
to find
I appreciate
you.
That. Thank
just
you.
So you know.
I love that about you. No. And same for you.
But also, I wouldn't just believe that it was a mountain lion, especially if there was evidence to the contrary.
I think that's a cop-out explanation because they don't want to admit that they fucked up.
I think so.
Or that they have a predator on their hands.
Mm-hmm. Which, why wouldn't you want to find the predator?
That's another question. There's a lot of questions.
Foolishness.
Not a lot of answers. There's so many other stories, too, that we came across that were...
We'll probably do another episode.
So fascinating, especially from, you know, 1800s and early 1900s. There's just a ton that are just still so bizarre to this day. So I do think that we're going to do another episode down the road about some of these.
And one of the cases in the Missing 411, Dior Coons, that is so intense. We'll have to do a whole episode on that.
A whole episode on him. We were going to mention it in this one, but honestly, it's such a... intense case with so much that we didn't want to do it injustice by not going over everything. Well, that's what we think. We'd love to know what you think. Hit us up on social media, email us, whatever, and let us know what you think might be going on in these weird disappearances.
And it's probably best if you stay close to your friends and family and just, I don't know if being as plain as possible works, because I just don't want to be on some sort of list for the Illuminati to try to sell me off to some alien
museum.
You're
probably already on that list.
God, I know. Damn it. I have to stop being so brilliant and
you
beautiful.
Do. Yeah, they're like, we have got to get her mind up in here.
Y'all don't put me in a glass box. You will not like the results.
Do you have any shout-outs?
Yeah, we have a couple shout-outs. We want to shout out folks that came and saw our show.
Oh, yes.
So Becca, Caitlin came out and saw our show, and some other people. If you come and see the show, please make sure to say hi to us. We always kind of hang out at the bar afterwards.
And we're talking about the improv show we do with our troupe, The Cult.
Correct.
That we had this past weekend at Dallas Comedy House.
Correct. And also shout-out Sarah and Bethany, who said hi at the Dallas Comedy House birthiversary event that we were at this weekend. So anytime you see us, it's not weird to say, I recognize you by your voice, but I don't know if you know who I am. Just come up and say hi. It's totally fine.
We love it.
We love it.
And a lot of people said they wanted to come to our last Cult show, but couldn't. So if you are in the Dallas area and want to come see us Saturday, February 2nd, 9 p.m. at Dallas Comedy House, We have another show. Tickets are cheaper in advance if you get them on the website, dallascomedyhouse.com. There's also a link in our bio on Instagram or on our website.
Correct.
The best thing you can do to help us grow is like, review, and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And tell a friend who you think would like us to check us out. It means so much to us and really helps small podcasts like us get more exposure.
Also, just recommend it to a friend by taking their phone, typing us into whatever podcast app they use, and subscribing them right away. It's very fast and easy.
Yes.
It's a lot easier than trying to spell out the name of the show. And also direct them and yourselves to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at SinisterhoodPod and like us on Facebook at SinisterHood. Christy, where can they find you?
I'm on Twitter at Christy or GTFO and on Instagram at Christy M. Wallace. What about you?
I'm on Instagram at Heather VS The World. Also, you can check out my new website I made, HeatherVersusTheWorld.com. And on Twitter at MCK versus the world.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.
Sinisterhood. I'm gonna kill you.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner. So you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work. With over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you. And most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hi, everybody. It's Andy and James here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do fun facts.
Yes, we do. James, give me a fact.
Did you know that there is an extinct bandicoot whose official scientific name is Crash Bandicoot?
Lovely. I didn't know that. Did you know, James, that Upper Egypt is technically below Lower Egypt?
Incredible. Absolutely amazing. I would love to hear more about that.
Well, all you have to do is go and listen to No Such Thing as a Fish.
Where will I find it?
Oh, all over.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.